Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We got the phone call, and the phone call went something like this. Hello, Mom? There's somebody here that'd like to speak to you. Okay. Hello? Hello, Mrs. Morin? This is Detective so-and-so. There's no easy way to tell you this. We found your daughter's body. I had just learned a few hours earlier that she was missing. We didn't know she was missing. She went on a trail in our town that's very public, very small, and we've walked it for over 25 years. She grew up walking this trail. An illegal immigrant that was a gotaway from El Salvador had waited for her on the trail. I was told that they grabbed her, dragged her through the woods, raped her, strangled her, murdered her. We were told that her body was blanketed in bruises. And I can tell you from looking at her when I went to the funeral home that it was probably the most graphic thing that I've ever seen. These murders are very horrendous. He then stuffed her into a drain pipe. So when the detective called and he said, Mrs. Morin, we found your daughter's body, you know that she's dead. It was such a complete shock to our whole family.
I can't take any more, Dawn.
Yeah.
I really
this can't. Is what you're listening to is just the tragic but really riveting testimony by Patty Morin. She delivered that powerful emotional testimony on Capitol Hill, actually testified a couple times after her adult daughter, Rachel, was raped and murdered on that trail that she referred to in Maryland. Of course, we had covered it at the time. It was in the summer of 2023, a trail where they had felt was safe for many years. And this was following that nationwide manhunt. Authorities did ID that illegal immigrant or illegal alien, Victor Martinez Hernandez, 23 years old from El Salvador, and who then was the, you know, arrested as that suspect in her murder. Patty Morin now joins us just because we wanted to really make sure that this story is not forgotten. And it's, you know, I think Patty, it's fair to say, is one of the many, many Americans who's so grateful to the fact that President Donald J. Trump signed into law the Lake and Riley Act, a law that mandates the federal detention of illegals who are accused of crimes, especially those violent crimes, and this in the wake of murders like that of Rachel, Patty's daughter. So good morning, Patty. I'm so sorry for your loss, and we thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you for inviting me to come on and share Rachel's story. Yeah. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. It's, you know, so often in the headlines and in the moment of the breaking news, Patty, I think that we, you know, we don't do enough follow-up. And certainly, I think you can appreciate the fact, Patty, that many in the mainstream media would love to forget your daughter's name, Lake and Riley's name, all of the names of those victims who should be alive today and who would be alive today if not for the fact that these dangerous felons were allowed to just walk into our country.
Yeah, and I think that people don't want to, well, they are acknowledging now because we have over 20 million illegal immigrants in our country. But at the time, they didn't want to hold the previous administration accountable mm-hmm. for the crimes of American citizens that have happened at the hands of alleged illegal criminals and immigrants. And so at the time, it was very political. But I am so grateful to President Trump recognizing that something has to be done to protect American citizens. And for him to close the border and to sign that bill into law, which would help to curb some of these criminal activities from going further. Like one of the things in the act is if they committed the crime of shoplifting. Mm-hmm. And some people would say, well, shoplifting is just a little thing. One, it's a crime. Two, if it's perpetrated by an illegal immigrant who's to say that they haven't committed other crimes? So it's a way of like opening the door so that we can actually find the criminals and arrest them and get them, you know, so that they're not harming other American citizens.
And as far as I know, there are governors, including, because I'm broadcasting from Pennsylvania, Governor Josh Shapiro is at the White House. The Governors Association there is at the White House today. And as far as the Maryland, you know, governor, Wes Moore, who's a Democrat, you know, he's being called upon really to sign his own executive order to cooperate with ICE, to honor ICE. Do you feel that you have the support there in Maryland, where your daughter obviously was brutally taken from you?
Well, I think locally, mm-hmm. There are counties that are conservative and they do support ICE. And there was actually a poll that I just read this morning where they did a survey and 76% of Marylanders support cooperating with ICE. But with that said, there is, for lack of a better word, a Democrat stronghold in the more populated cities like Baltimore City and, you know, Arundel County and just like all those. And so I don't know that as a state, mm-hmm. if our family has the support that's needed to cooperate with ICE.
And so that, you know, to me, when I know you're thankful that President Trump signed into law the Lake and Riley Act, but on the other hand, are you still worried about, you know, exactly what you're saying, states like Maryland, areas where they're so-called sanctuary municipalities, and I'm not suggesting that anybody purposely is harboring, you know, dangerous criminals, but basically they are, by the fact that they're refusing to cooperate with ICE.
Well, they're refusing to cooperate with ICE, but then they are also telling the public, we will protect you. We will not share your information. And a lot of people in America don't realize that sanctuary cities actually started and originated in the Middle East. It's an old religious cultural thing. And my question is, why are we taking the religious practices of Iran, Turkey, you know, all these Middle Eastern countries, and putting them into our government, our governance, and our politics here in America? Why are we subjecting our citizens to harm's way by harboring criminals and saying you have a safe place here? Like, who's profiting from this?
Yeah.
It's the only thing that I can think of is, why would somebody choose someone over the American citizen unless they're profiting in some way? And that's just my opinion.
Well, no, and I mean, and my goodness, I think there are so many people who would say you of all people as an angel mom. I think, first of all, that title, angel mom, no mom wants that title that you bear. Right?
No, ma'am.
And so I know that you're speaking out and you want people to be aware of this. So take me through this now, Patty. And I, you know, unfortunately, you are a member of this unfortunate, you know, club, if you will, of angel moms who want people to hear the story, who want people to understand the real issues, and that just by the signature, one signature with Trump, it seems like you're saying, Patty, that it's only the beginning of this. What further do you want people to know?
I hope this is only the beginning. I want people to know that America and Americans are not against immigration. Every one of us can trace our roots back to somebody that has immigrated to this country. So we're not against immigration. But there's a difference between legal and illegal immigration. And I do believe that Biden deceived some of the immigrants that came to our country. but also I think that criminal immigrants took advantage of the open borders and came here. And I also believe that nations and countries took advantage of the open borders to come and to destabilize our country. So I think what we need is we need to abolish sanctuary cities. We need to abolish harboring criminals. And even those, even though they've committed no crimes and they're here deceptively, we still need to send people back to their countries, have them go through the legal process of coming and immigrating into our country. That's the only way that we're going to be able to, for the most part, protect our country and our citizens from these bad actors and these criminals that have just come in along with the masses of, you know, the innocent that may have come here looking for a better life.
And so, you know, when you see, Patty, when you see the headlines day after day, and there are, you know, I know that it depends on what headlines you're looking at, but I will tell you, for me, looking at all the different monitors, all the different sites, which I do look at every single morning, starting at, you know, 3:30 in the morning, so many of them make it seem as if innocent people are being targeted and that this is some kind of a witch hunt, if you will, by the Trump administration, or that it's somehow racist against people coming from other countries. What would you say if you could have an audience with people who believe in those headlines or write those headlines? What would you want them to know?
Well, I would say that, one, I think that they are, well, it's media. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for sensationalism. And the best way to do that is to stir up people's emotions, and especially anger, strong emotion. And if it goes against their personal politics, all the better to stir people up and say, you know, this is wrong and this isn't fair. But what they're not saying is that essentially they broke the law. And if you have a country or a city or a town and you have laws, and people say, yes, we want these laws, but then you don't enforce the laws, the laws carry no weight. Mm-hmm. They have no penalty. It allows for chaos and lawlessness because people know that they're going to, there's no consequence. So whether they're innocent, you know, came here looking for a better life and was deceived by saying, you know, come on in, or they're the criminal or the terrorist from other countries, they're still essentially breaking the law. And we need to uphold the laws that protect our nation. So I would say to these people that are writing these headlines and trying to stir up all this fear and, you know, the sense of indignity that we would treat other people this way, mm-hmm. that those people broke the law, plain and simple. If I run a stop sign or a red light, I'm going to get a ticket because I broke the law. And you would say, oh, that's nothing. You just drove, you know, through a red light. But still, it's a law. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that it's all politics, and it always come down to who wants to be in control and how much money are they making or not making.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
It's so true. What was it like for you to meet with President Trump, to be emboldened by this, at least that he signed the legislation into law?
Oh, man, I was so grateful. I had met him when we had first found out that they had arrested a suspect, and we found out that it was potentially an illegal immigrant. President Trump was the first person to call our family and to, give us his condolences, and then invited us to meet him for lunch so that we could sit and talk. And so it was interesting to go to lunch. It was at one of his golf resorts. Mm-hmm. And to meet the people that worked for him, just, you know, the waiters, the waitresses, whatever, and how much they enjoyed working for President Trump, and that they genuinely respected him, that he was a kind man.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting, having worked in retail for a decade or more. And then to go and sit, and I on purpose didn't speak so much because mm-hmm. I wanted to hear what he had to say, because you can tell more yeah. about a person by the words that they speak and by their actions. And so I wanted to see if he was a genuine person, if this was a political thing, and that he thought maybe it would somehow help him with his campaign. So I listened to him more than spoke, and I could tell that he genuinely cared about our family, but he his heart went out to the fact that we lost somebody that we didn't need to lose. And so that just, he just seemed like a real person. I've spoken with Governor Wes Moore. I've spoken with congressmen, and you can tell from there, their language, their body language, the words mm-hmm. that they say, if they're genuine or not. And President Trump is genuinely a man who cares about his fellow man, and he wanted to do something about it. So having him sign the Lakeland Riley law was him keeping his word, and that just spoke volumes to the integrity of the man.
I'm thinking about, I know that I've read a lot about you, your faith, that you've turned to your faith. You now, your daughter, 37 years young, was somebody who was loved to be fit. I was talking about Lara Trump and her fitness line and all of that earlier, but I think about the thing that your daughter Rachel and Lake and Riley had in common. They were out going for their run. They were trying to remain healthy as moms with kids. So, you know, there's a common theme there. But can you just, final question, as you just want to pay tribute to your daughter, think about how, you know, think about all of the legislation now to support and protect women who maybe are going out for a run even today on, you know, and the hope and prayer for them, but how you will help to raise your grandchildren without their mom.
That is a very hard question to answer because, I don't see my grandchildren as often as I would like. And it's because of the fathers mm-hmm. and actually the character of the fathers. And there was a reason my daughter wasn't with them. So I pray for them. I hope someday to be able to speak with them.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, gosh, you have so much to pray for and so much that your heart is hurting. So we lift you up in prayer for sure. And Patty, I hope you come back. I hope we continue the conversation because I know how important it is for you to keep the memory of your daughter alive. And as well, you will be in my prayers as far as, because I think you're such a great role model and source of strength as a grandmother. And for your grandchildren, I know that they probably miss you as much as you're missing them.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Well, Patty, until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patty.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you again for this opportunity.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.